Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila 14, Performance of the Vrindavan Pastimes. Radha Sanga Krishna Lila Ehoi Lagyana Erasa Magna Prabhu Haile Apana. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was always thinking of the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, and he remained personally merged in this consciousness. Nayudjane Bhakta Sangha Vrindavana Leela Indrajumna Sarivare Kore Jallakela. There were many gardens near the Gundicha temple, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees used to perform the pastimes of Vrindavan in each of them. In the lake named Indrajumna, he sported in the water. Apane Sakal Bhakti Sinche Jaladiya Shabe Bhakta Gane Sinche Chodike Bidiya. The Lord personally splashed all the devotees with water, and the devotees surrounding him on all sides also splashed the waves. Kabu Ikamandal Kabu Anek Mandal Jalamandukvyati Shabe Bajaya Karata. While in the water they sometimes formed one circle and sometimes many circles, and while in the water they used to play cymbals and imitate the croaking of frogs. Dui dui janameli kore jalarana kehare keha jine prabhu kore darshan. Sometimes two would pair off to fight in the water. One would emerge victorious and the other defeated, and the Lord would watch all this fun. Advaita Nityananda Jala Fela Fili Acharya Hariya Pache Kore Galagali. The first sporting took place between Advaita Acharya and Nityananda Prabhu, who threw water upon each other. Advaita Acharya was defeated, and he later began to rebuke Nityananda Prabhu, calling him ill names. Vijjanira Jala Kili Swarupirishana Gupta Datta Jala Kele Kore Duijana. Swarup Damodar and Vijaniri also threw water upon each other, and Murari Gupta and Vasudev Datta also sported in that way. Sri Vasahita Jala Kele Galadara Raghava Pandit Sana Kele Vakreshwar. Another duel took place between Sri Vas Thakur and Gadara Pandit, and yet another between Raghava Pandit and Vakreshwar Pandit. Thus, they all engaged in throwing water. Sarvabhoma Sangha Kele Ramananda Rai Gambhirya Gela Dhanar Aila Sishubhai. Indeed, Sarvabhoma Bhattacharya engaged in water sports with Sri Ramananda Rai, and they both lost their gravity and became like children. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw the exuberance of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Ramananda Rai, he smiled and spoke to Gopinath Acharya. Pandita Gambhira Dune Pramanika Jan Bala Chanchal Kare Karahavajan. Tell the Bhattacharya and Ramananda Rai to stop their childish play, because they're both learned scholars and very grave and great personalities. Gopinath kahe tomar kripa mahasindhu uchalita kare jabitare kabindu. Gopinath Acharya replied, I believe that one drop of the ocean of your great mercy has swelled upon them. Meru manna parvat duvaya jatatata idui gandashala. A drop from the ocean of your mercy can drown great mountains like Sumeru and Mandar. Since these two gentlemen are like hills by comparison, it is no wonder that they are being drowned in the ocean of your mercy. Shushkatarka kalikaite janmageliyara taralilam rittapiya ekripatamara. Logic is like a dry oil cake from which all the oil has been extracted. The Bhattacharya passed his life in eating such dry cakes But now you've made him drink the nectar of transcendental pastimes. It's certainly a great mercy upon him. Hasi Mahaprabhu Tabe Advaita Anila Jalera Paratara Shisa Shayakaila. Another, after Gopi Natacharya finished talking, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu smiled and called for Advaita Acharya, made him act like the Sesha Nagabe. Bet. Apeneta haru pare karile swayan shesha sailila prabhu kaila prakatan. Lying down on a Veta Prabhu who was floating on the water, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu demonstrated the pastime of shesha sai Vishnu. So here in the water sports in Indrajumna Sarovar, just situated next to the Gundicha temple in Jagannath Puri, we're seeing many different relationships that are existing between the devotees. Not only are we seeing that they're playing and they are going beyond formality, they become young and playful. Because the soul is eternally young and fresh, and the Vrindavan pastimes are young and playful. Krishna and his eternal associates are Anovayovanam, ever fresh, ever young. Krishna is in blooming youth, and thus so are his associates. So we see that that mood pervades. It is not that they're old, learned acharyas, and so on. All that dignity just disappears. All that formality of gyan, the weight of gyan, disappears in bhakti. Thus, the bhakti is light and joyful. Gyan is serious. Gyan means that one is seeing the opulences of the Lord. Gyan means that we understand how janmadiyasya yatun vayat itaratas charte svabhikyasvat, how Krishna is the origin of everything, how the entire universe is emanating from Krishna, how Krishna is simply the source of everything, and everywhere we see Krishna. But in pure bhakti, that is not at all very much in the foreground. Then it is simply Krishna. Krishna, who is the source of unlimited varieties of pastimes. Still, in the midst of all this childlike play, the Lord is at the same time revealing his transcendental opulence by calling for Advaita Acharya to act like Ananta says. And then Lord Chaitanya lied down on Advaita Acharya, and in this way, enacting out the lila of Sesha Sai. So, as if to say that, yes, but don't forget there is that other aspect. There is, we are dealing here not just with an ordinary situation. All our relationships are transcendental and completely on the spiritual plane, and there is a transcendental order, and everyone has his particular place within that transcendental order. Just as we see here, Vakreshwar is mentioned. Vakreshwar is known as Ksirodakshaya Vishnu, whereas Advaita Acharya is known as Mahavishnu or Sadashiva. So in this way, we're seeing that the Purusha avatars were present within the particular pastime and are thus also getting their particular service is manifesting. With each devotee, Lord Chaitanya is reciprocating in an individual way according to his nature, according to his service. Gopinath Acharya is simply remembering how this Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was so steeped in impersonalism And how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu completely transformed him. Completely. And how now he is, he who was so serious, he who could not for a moment to have a normal conversation, he who virtually speaking had to every moment display his learning, and everything had to be seen and expressed in the context of his learning. That's how heavy he was with Gyan, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. That every moment he was arguing on the basis of philosophy. But now he had become very simple. Now he had become almost like a child. Because now he was simply taking the purpose of the scriptures. Now he was realizing that the pleasure of Krishna, to simply please Krishna, is the essence of everything and nothing beyond it. And thus, the devotees are sometimes judged by those who are learned in Vedic literature as sentimentalists. But we see that the devotees are not sentimentalists. Devotees are very deep and are fully understanding the nature of the Lord and all his expansions. And they understand very well how these expansions are to be seen. Ultimately, when we are looking at all the avatars of the Lord, then we can place those avatars in five categories, and that is the Panchatattva. We're dealing with the Supreme Lord, the original, Adipurush, Sri Krishna Bhagavan, Indrari Vyakalam Lokam, Mridayanti Yuge Yuge, Krishnas Tu Bhagavan Swayam, that Supreme Lord, Iti Cham Sakalapum Sam Krishnas Tu Bhagavan Swayam. That Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, who is the origin of everything, is manifest. Then he expands himself. He expands himself. And his first forms are simply his own forms, Svamsa. Svamsa, these are his direct forms, his own direct forms. Other forms, as he ate Svamsa Kala, his Svamsa, his own forms. These forms of Krishna, the Svamsa manifestations of Krishna, may manifest either as Prakasha Rupa or as Vaibhava Rupa. Balaram is Vaibhava Rupa. He is Krishna, but yet he is different from Krishna. All the expansions that Krishna displays in Dwarka are Prakash Rupa. They are the same like Krishna, although they may have four hands, but the same Krishna, not another personality, so to speak. But Balaram is a distinctly different personality, very different, and is sometimes diametrically opposed to Krishna. How can we understand when Krishna wants to basically go to any lengths to make sure that Duryodhana is removed from the throne, which basically means killed, because Duryodhana is a Kshatriya. He will not give up. So it means killed. Krishna goes to any length, and meanwhile Balaram goes to any length to protect him. Teaches him the art of club fighting, and refuses to partake in the battle of Kurukshetra, all out of affection for Duryodhana, who is extremely envious. So how can Balaram protect this extremely envious personality? How can this, in this feature of the Lord, how can he act like that? His mood is completely opposed to Krishna's mood. How is this? the mystery of Duryodhana's position. Well, but we understand that in some ways Duryodhana was also still exalted. That is the amazing thing, is that he was still exalted because he was adhering to a most exalted culture. The culture of Varnashram as it existed at that time was not just casual like it exists at best today. Today Varnashram only exists in a casual feature, so to speak. It's not very profound, it's not very deep, it's on the surface, it's very external. And that is whether we are looking at the Varnashram's society that still exists in India, very external. A little bit to do with name, birth. There are certain duties for one's caste and so on, but mostly external. Some external practices, but certain things and rituals are still being carried on. Just like Prabhupada said, that he belonged to that Dei family, which was the same caste as Udarahan Dutta, who is like one of the principal disciples of Lord Nityananda. And he was Suvarna Varnik community. So the Suvarna Varnik community is a community of goldsmiths, actually, and jewelers. Right. And so Prabhupada also, Suvarna Varniks are also oftentimes becoming ministers or they are very influential in society. This is the Suvarna Varnik community. So Prabhupada explained that he was coming from that community, and he said that the Suvarna Varnik community still every year was celebrating a large festival at the birthplace of Udarahan Dutta and Dutta Thakur. And Prabhupada said that his family would also go there. Every year they would observe that, and the whole caste of would assemble there and would for a festival and so on. Yeah. So that was still a major thing. Udarahan Dutta was actually the person who organized Lord Nityananda's mission, who in Bengal, when Nityananda was sent from Puri to Bengal to preach, it was Udarahan Dutta who supplied him a Sankirtan base, so to speak, who supplied him also, who worshipped him. And because he worshipped him, he gave him all opulence. He gave him all these jewels. And that is where Lord Nityananda got all those jewels that he was wearing, you know, like a ring on every finger and whatever, bracelets and jewels in the turban and like everywhere, inconceivable opulence. Later it's described how dacoits just saw him walking and were thinking, this man, I mean, what is he worth? Look at him walking here. I mean, he's like, this is amazing how much wealth he's carrying. It's like inconceivable. But yet, it was a spark of the splendor of the Lord. Ekam sena stito jagat. In this universe, know that this universe is merely a spark of my splendor. So all the jewels in this world are only a spark of the spark. So what is the significance of all that opulence? But still it was reflecting the opulence of the spiritual world, and the spiritual opulence was actually manifesting. Because when coming into contact with spirit, chintamani prakara sutma sukalpa vriksha, then there is transcendental touchstone, chintamani or sparsamani, a touchstone that transforms. So in this way, when matter becomes engaged in the service of the Lord, it becomes transcendental. The jewels became transcendental and manifested the full transcendental glory of spiritual gems. In this way, in fact, they were spiritual gems. The spiritual gems cover the material forms because Lord Nityananda appears in his eternal transcendental identity and manifests fully his transcendental spiritual opulence. So all the expansions of the Lord are manifesting different features. We're seeing that Lord Chaitanya, Panchatattvamakam Krishnam, Lord Chaitanya is Krishna. Bhakta Rupa, he's Bhakta Rupa in devotional, in the form of a devotee. Bhakta Rupa Swarupakam, Lord Nityananda is, again, he is also a devotee, but he is different from the Lord. But he is the Lord's own form, therefore he is Swarupakam, Bhakta Swarup. Bhakta Avatar, then we get Bhakta Avatar. So the avatars, there are so many avatars of the Lord, and they are represented by Advaita Acharya. Advaita Acharya is within the Panchatattva representing all the avatars of the Lord. Because after all, from Mahavishnu, so many Vishnu expansions manifest. Mahavishnu is the original form from whom all the other Vishnu expansions are actually appearing. Thus, it is Advaita Acharya who is the root of all the avatars and who is representing the avatars like this. Thus, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was relating to him in the water there of him. In that way, as Bhakta Avatar. Then we have, of course, Bhakta Shakti. We have Gadadhar, who is manifesting as Shakti Tattva. There are so many who are Shakti Tattva. By the way, in this pastime, Vakreshwar Pandit is mentioned, who is then also Avatar. So he's also in the Avatar category, Bhakta Avatar category. And then the Shakti, Gadadhar is there, and Swarup Damodar Goswami is there. Swarup Damodar Goswami is also in the Shakti Tattva category. Ramananda Rai is there. Again, Shakti Tattva. These are not jivas. These are not ordinary personalities. These personalities, such as Swarup Damodar Goswami and Rai Ramananda, they are eternal associates of the Lord, who are directly expanded from the Supreme Lord for His pleasure, and are thus operating completely on the transcendental platform. Unlike the jivas, they never fall. They never fall under the influence of the illusory energy. There is no question. They are simply always remaining on the platform of the pleasure potency. That is one of the differences between the Shakti Tattva and the Jiva Tattva. That Shakti Tattva will not fall prey to Maya. There's no question that Maya can touch the Shakti Tattva because it's part of the Antaranta Shakti, of the internal energy of the Supreme Lord. Sandini Shakti, Samvit and Ladini, the three different energies which make up the Antaranga Shakti, the internal energy of the Lord. Or the origin of the existence potency, Sandini, the origin of the knowledge potency, Samvit, and the origin of the pleasure potency, Ladini Shakti. So, in this way, all these are there and manifest. So, we are looking at the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on various levels. We cannot just take external. We must, for a moment, look at the depth of what is going on there. Who is who, so to speak, so that we properly understand the exchanges. So we are, for a moment, looking at who is in the water there, and what are they doing. On the other hand, now these personalities are assisting Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It is said that with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, personally, there is only one rasa, which is dasyam, which is servitorship. No other one.
Excuse me, I should lift up the mic because I'm
bent over.
Like anything. Very bad.
So in this way, all these personalities now are the servant of the Supreme Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But what is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu doing? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has just completed the Rath Yatra. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has just had a most intimate exchange with Lord Jagannath. Both Lord Jagannath and both Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu experiencing Viraha Bhav, the greatest separation. At one point, the chariot stopped and it wouldn't move any further. Then, it was just at the location of the Jagannath Vallabha Gardens. And there, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed pastimes of remembering Vrindavan. These gardens very much resembled Vrindavan. There, Maharaj Prataparuda had come disguised as a commoner, as an ordinary man. There, he had recited the Gopi Gita for the pleasure of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who had experienced the greatest ecstasy and told him simply to continue and to continue and to not stop reciting. And meanwhile, the king had massaged the feet and legs of the Lord, who had been dancing in the greatest ecstasy, just calling out Jaga, 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 who was so eager to bring Lord Krishna, Lord Jagannath, back to Vrindavan. And then there at Gundicha, the temple where Lord Jagannath finally stayed, there Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Vrindavan. So everything that was going on was Vrindavan. It was not from, it's hot and let's go for a swim and let's have some fun and let's have some water fights and let's see who is more powerful, Advaita Acharya or Nityananda. And Nityananda every time perfectly shot the water in the eyes of Advaita Acharya. Each time again. Until Advaita Acharya became very angry and began to chastise him and began to say he had no respect for a brahmana and all this. Right? But it was not just, big Rath Yatra, let's relax a little, let's have some fun, and now let's take a dip. And that element was also there. But simultaneously there was a whole different thing going on, because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Vrindavan, and his associates were serving him there, and they were serving him in that mood of recreating Vrindavan pastimes, playful pastimes in the water. And thus it is said that in the relationship with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there is only one rasa, dasyam. It's very safe. Because if we are entering into Vrindavan Leela, and we are, then sooner or later we come to a point where we start to wonder about, well, what would my rasa be with Krishna? Sooner or later, it will come. Then, what to do? Wait? Yes.
Raghunath Das
took this position. It is said in Jaiva Dharma that when Srila Swarup Damodar, who was the intimate secretary of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it was Swarup Damodar Goswami who was appointed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to teach Raghunath Das. And particularly, he was meant to teach Raghunath Das in antaranga seva, in internal service, teaching Raghunath Das how to act according to his spiritual identity. In other words, he was meant to help Raghunath Das to enter into that spiritual identity. Chaitanya Charitamrita describes this, and it's interesting that it comes up, because sooner or later this Swarup question comes up, as I said, in spiritual life, comes up in our mind. Then, very interesting is that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Jaiva Dharma begins to explain how Swarup Damodar Goswami was not only training Raghunath Das in trying to experiencing this Swarup, this eternal identity, but he was also training Gopal Guru Goswami. But it said that he was training Raghunath Das in the way of automatic revelation, and Gopal Guru Goswami in the path of conscious cultivation of one's Swarup, so to speak. And one sees in our Gaudiya tradition these two paths. So it's very interesting. For example, we can read Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Harinam Chintamani, and then at the end we find a whole session that deals with developing one's Swarup. And it is said that one is one finds a Vaishnava who helps, and then one is trying to meditate and see if that spiritual identity fits. One gets the Varana Dasa, the 11 symptoms of the particular age, the particular family that one belongs to in the spiritual world, the particular paksha. There are different gopis who are in different groups. Some are known as Swapaksha, or Krishna's own group, Radharani's own group, Others are competitors. They are the Vipaksha, such as Chandravali's groups. Then there are those who are neutral groups. Then there are those who are favorable groups as well. These groups of gopis are all referred to as yutas. So there are different groups. For example, it is said that Palika is in a competitive group. Sham is heading up a group that is favorable to Lalita's group, which is Srimati Radharani's own group. And in this way, Sham, Tara, Palita, Lalita. In this way, these various yutas are mentioned by Rupa Goswami in the first verse of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So it's not so obscure what I'm saying here. It's the first verse of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, where these groups are being described. Now, the point is that if... So, it is Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was describing how a devotee is developing his eternal identity and is trying to sort of see, well, with the help of a realized Vaishnava, almost fitting on the identity as like clothes, you know, to see if it fits, the 11 symptoms, does it fit? Yeah. So these kind of descriptions we find in various scriptures. In Harinam Chintamani, we also find something in Jiva Dharma, and there are many others. Then we find, so this we find coming down in the line of Gopal Guru Goswami in our Sampradaya, whose disciple Janachandra Goswami has again written an entire book, a book of meditation, and it's a very interesting book of meditation. It's like a book which is almost is like living like in deity worship. He is describing how he begins to offer obeisances to the earth and ask forgiveness for the offenses of like putting contaminated substances on the earth somehow or other. In this way, he begins to worship on all levels. He goes from his bodily existence up into his conscious existence, to his his consciousness. Then he begins to worship all the devas, all the deities. Everyone is respected, and then he comes to Krishna, and then he comes to Krishna, and ultimately in entering into Krishna's pastimes, Astakaliya Lila, because Krishna is doing different things at different times of the day, and so on. In this way, he's entering into this eternal Swarup, all through a meditative process of cultivation. How different is Raghunath Das's approach? Raghunath Das's approach, Raghunath says, I will not by no means contemplate the higher position. No. I will only take the position of Dasyam. Nothing else. Servant. I will only be servant. But when the Vaishnavas call me to take a higher position, then what can I do? So, for many years I read all these things, but I never saw it in a structure, in a frame. But then, with time, I found out about this particular reference in Jiva Dharma, which explains that Swarup Damodar Goswami was not only teaching Raghunath in his internal service, but also Gopal Guru Goswami, and that there were different ways, one of automatic revelation, the other one of constant cultivation. So generally speaking, we see that Raghunath's approach is predominating in our movement. We can also in there see some differences that exist between Prabhupada's movements, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati movements, and maybe some other branches of Gaudiya Math that also exist today that may have the other approach, more. That is a very interesting point, because it's not just theoretical. It puts things sort of, well, a little bit more into perspective, where we are and what we are dealing with and what is there in the marketplace, so to speak. So I thought it was interesting. Then we see Raghunath Das on following this process that Krishna will reveal everything. So some have taken that, all right, you know, so don't bother to think even of your spiritual identity, because it's not, when it's not revealed to you, then, you know, you have no business thinking about it. Yes, it's true, but then again, such revelations are also not exactly like turning on the light. It's dark and then it's full light. Isn't that exactly like that either? Yeah? if we use then the example of the light, then it's more like one of those switches that you turn, and you know, gradually the strength of light is increasing. So it's not that one moment one is a completely sunken in the darkness of ignorance, the next moment one is at the topmost level of Krishna Prem as a parisat in the spiritual world. There's obviously something in between. Right? And that brings the two processes again a little closer, because at least partial realization of Swarup can be possible. Yes. So, it is said here, and that's why I'm speaking about this. I'm not projecting things on the text that are not there, because it is said that in the text that we read, that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was always absorbed in the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. And as I explained it, not only Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but also all his associates together. That's what they were doing. Yeah? I mean, supporting Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his ecstasy. That's all they were doing. They were simply assisting Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to enter deeper and deeper into his brain. That's what it meant. That was their mood of dasyam. So in this way, their dasyam is, that's the interesting thing, although in the relationship with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there is only one rasa, dasyam. One doesn't have. It's not the simply servant. There's no such things as madhurya with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That is rejected. That is apasampradaya. That is Gauranganagar. Who think that Gadadhar embodies Srimati Radharani and Lord Chaitanya embodies Krishna, and then that in the Panchatattva there is a secret exchange going on between Gadadhar and Gauranga, and that this Guru Gadadhar thing is what it's all about, and that sooner or later that is where you come. And then, to make it even more confusing, then we go to the house of Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Mayapur. And we reach there, and who's on the altar? Gaura Gadadhar. But what about it then? Because Gadadhar is that expansion of Srimati Radharani, and is there something going on after all? Or what's happening there? Is it bona fide or not? Gauranga Nagar is identified as one of the apasampradayas. And the Gauranga Nagaris, they're basically saying that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is all the time in that exchange with Gadadhar, and they say that all the associates of Mahaprabhu are really behind that. They're all serving that. Yeah? And sometimes it's separation, sometimes it's meeting, but basically everyone, that's the focus of the attention. No, it is said. A big cross through it. This is off. Because it is said that Mahaprabhu has stolen. He has stolen all the whole mood of Srimati Radharani, and it doesn't leave Gadadhar with that. Thus Gadadhar is just stripped from that, and all that Gadadhar has left is the submissive service attitude, the complete, total, surrendered service attitude, but nothing anymore of the left-wing challenging mood and the obscure mood of displaying anger and actually being totally overwhelmed by attraction. So that sort of dual type of behavior is now not there in Gadadhar. Gadadhar is completely straight, completely transparent, always in the mood of humble submission and service. Now, then what is this Gaura Gadadhar? Well, we see that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is seeing He's describing how when he worships Gurgadadhar, that he is seeing how they are again taking their original form. Sri Chaitanya, he sees that ultimately, yes, when they return to the form of Radha Madhava, yes, then. Yeah. So, in other words, he's worshipping them in the spiritual world where, yes, they are transforming in Radha Madhava at times. Right? And he sings like that. So then it is possible, Gurgadada worship, but otherwise not here, in this particular manifestation. So many complexities come up when we enter into the mood of dasyam, of serving Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then the amazing thing is that automatically, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is relishing the five rasas of Vrindavan, automatically we enter fully into all these, into the depth of all this ras, right, of Gopi Bhav, without making a conscious endeavor to enter. If we directly go to Radha Krishna Leela, then sooner or later you have to start relating through your swarup. Otherwise, how can we be part of it? How can you go deep? But by worshipping Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and serving him, one shares in all those Radha Krishna pastimes until at one point one is there, and then there is just no more difference. Then it is revealed. Then Vrindavan, then there's no more difference between Vrindavan pastimes and the pastimes of Mahaprabhu. And thus following the path of Mahaprabhu is a very safe path. The path of going direct to Radha and Krishna pastime brings us a dilemma because of the erotic element or the kamanuga element, the element of lust, transcendental lust, and the pastimes that are full of that. And how can one who has a trace of material lust enter into such transcendental lust without becoming afflicted? So there is a dilemma in entering. There's a wall. Any sincere person will have to stop somewhere. There's a gate, you know, it says, like, well, this gate, the erotic gate, maybe I better not enter. Or I maybe have a little peek over the wall, right? As a spectator, that can be done, right? One who is seriously situated in sadhana can have a peek and can have a glance at such intimate pastimes and also at the erotic pastimes, and while philosophically remembering the deeper devotional aspect of the exchanges and remembering that's not mundane lust, that's all right. But as a spectator, yes. But then to enter into the spiritual identity, to fit on the body, and then, just as Prabhupada said to this in New York in a lecture, to this young girl, there were these two young girls, they were coming every day and they were asking questions, and then this girl was asking questions about Krishna's relationships with the gopis, and what it meant, the love between them. And Prabhupada said, yes, yes. It simply may mean that one day Krishna will kiss you. And the girl just blushed in front of everyone, totally embarrassed. Prabhupada was amazing to just bring that out in New York of the 60s. And it just like, it was in 68. So that's amazing that Prabhupada was just sharing this level of transcendence. But that is the gate where we stop, where the spectator stops. That is the gate where one can go no further if one is not free from lust as a participant. The spectator means one is a sadhaka, one is watching, but one is a practitioner who is following the process of abhideya, who is trying to become purified. Prayojan means one enters into the pastime, one is there as a participant, as a parisat, then one must be free from lust. But if we go with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we simply remain in a mood of dasyam, in a mood of service, and then automatically, everything can be revealed. So there is no difficulty in that respect. Everything will be revealed in the pastimes of Mahaprabhu automatically. Because we are serving Mahaprabhu, who is in that Madhurya. And that is what all these devotees were doing here in the Juna Sarovar, in Jagannath Puri. They were serving Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan by serving Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's quite a theme that came out here. It's early in the morning. Not so early in the morning. So any questions or comments?
Now, curiously, the concept of cultivation of this hope many times actually pretty much implies on the question of where actually the soul came from. Because, I mean, if we came from the spiritual platform, actually, this hope is supposed to be already given.
Mm-hmm.
But if we are not, then there is a question of cultivation.
Now, I have a very interesting quote for you, which sheds some interesting light on that matter. Well, I'll give you two. First, I'll give you the standard quote. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem Sadhya Kabunai Sravanadi Sudhichitta Karya Udai. That the Nitya Siddha, the eternal platform of perfection, through the process of Sravanadi, Sravan, hearing, and Adi means also such additional processes. Yeah. Sravan, Adi, that also includes Kirtanam and so on. That's the word Adi. Sudachitta, in the pure heart. Sravanadi Sudachitta, in the pure heart, Karya Udaya, will be awakened. Yeah. So it will be awakened. So this word udaye means is indicating, you know, that it's been in a sleeping, in a dormant state. So the spiritual identity has been in a dormant state and is then awoken. It's already there. And that's the verse which is like makes the case for the eternal identity is already there. Then in the Adi Lila, chapter 7. Verse 17, there is a purport where Srila Prabhupada is beginning to explain something about Swarup. And he's saying that the associates of Lord Nityananda, generally they are having a identity as in Sakyabhav or in Vatsalyabhav. We can look at the Gauraganadesh Deepika, which sheds some more light on this, and says that Madhavendra Puri was a tree which produced four types of fruits. And it said that Ishvara Puri, his disciple, was dealing with the fruit of Madhurya Bhav, and then Rangapuri Swami and Advaita Acharya. We're dealing with Vatsalyabhav, like that. So the different fruits were coming of the same tree. So Advaita Acharya is stated to be representing parental, the parental mood. Nichananda, the fraternal mood. And so it is said the associates of Nichananda are generally cowherd boys. And we see also in Krishna's Kaviraj's dream, we see all these cowherd boys. And then Advaita Acharya, more parental, said, but if the devotees, if these devotees are also becoming deeply absorbed in the association of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then they may develop Madhurya Bhav, a conjugal relationship also. They may also come to Madhurya Bhav. So this is like shocking, because how does this rhyme? I mean, isn't the Swarup already fixed? And didn't Srila Prabhupada say it distinctly? And isn't it confirmed again and again? And yes, yes, yes. And also there is a conversation with Hansa Dutta. That conversation with Hansa Dutta is very interesting, because in there, Hansa Dutta asks the question, and for once he wasn't so submissive, you know, and he kept on asking, you know. Yeah, I mean, oftentimes Prabhupada's disciples, they ask a question and then Prabhupada gives an answer and they don't keep on asking. And we in our mind are still asking, you know, we're just too submissive in front of the guru. Yeah? But Hansa Dutta kept on asking and arguing again and again, well, what about the Sarup, right? Is it already there? Is it Dita or not? Yes, perhaps, yes. Yes, but can we change it? And Prabhupada says, yes, but why would we change? We wouldn't want to change it. Right? Yes, yes, but can we? Can we? And again, Prabhupada says, like, well, you know, I mean, but it's completely fulfilling, so why would you change? Right? So really, that conversation is sort of taken often as the proof that sews up the case, so to speak, that there is no question of changing the swarup. Now, that is then ISKCON's position, a hard position. Right? No, swarup's already there, and it cannot be changed, and that's it. Then we are surrounded by other Gaudiya Vaishnavas and also non-Gaudiya Vaishnavas who have totally different ideas about that. The Babaji line, of course, they have a whole culture of where the Guru gives the seed. And according to the Bija, the Bhakti Lata Bija that you receive, you'll get a Swarup. So therefore you must receive the Bija of one who is in Gopi Bhav. Then you will get Gopi Bhav. You'll get the Bija of one who is in Vatsalya Bhav, you will be in Vatsalya Bhav, right? Like this. Yeah, that's how they see it. And so, even within the Gaudiya line, right, there are Vaishnavas who represent that kind of a view, yeah, that it is depending on the bija that you receive. So that's interesting. Now this one statement of 717 in the Adi Lila, Adi 717, made by Srila Prabhupada, is very interesting, because it's not talking about us changing our sarup. It's talking about why would we change our sarup? It's fulfilling. But in the association of the Lord, by the Lord revealing particular opulences and so on, it could happen. It might happen. And that's clearly indicated by that particular statement. To balance it, I must present the statement of the situation of Murari Gupta, who was none other than Hanuman, and Lord Chaitanya asked him to stop worshipping Ram and start worshipping Krishna. So the whole night he tried. In the morning he fell at the feet of Lord Chaitanya and said, and the whole night I have tried to give up my Lord Raghunath. It is just not possible. I cannot do it. And at the same time, I cannot ignore your order either. Therefore, the best thing is I just die. Lord Chaitanya picked him up and glorified him and said, yes, you are indeed Hanuman, you are Ram Das. And he wrote on his forehead with his finger, Ram Das. And so he could not change his swarup. But in Adi 7.17, there is a reference that it is possible to change the swarup, which, brings in a whole different element into the equation, so to speak. Yeah, right. So all our calculations there are thrown off by this one statement there. If you put it into the equation, then suddenly it answers so many questions. Because devotees always ask, well, but what if your eternal bhav is Vaikuntha? And you enter into this movement, and then you're a Vaikuntha Basi, and will you then, after some, and then all the time it's Krishna, 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 but actually for you it's Vishnu, Vishnu, Vishnu. And then, you know, after years in the Hare Krishna movement, one day you realize that, you know, it's just Vishnu for me, it's got to be four hands, you know. I just can't handle it anymore. Just what can I do? It's like, you know, I mean, for me, just these four hands. I feel this so totally. And now what to do? Should I suppress this and, like, you know, sort of like live in a Krishna movement, or should I just leave the Hare Krishna movement and join a Vishnu temple in India somewhere? Yeah. Or should we start our own, you know, the Vishnu Sampradaya? Yeah. The International Society for Vishnu Consciousness. Yes, should we do that? Right. So you can see the dilemma, and these kind of questions sometimes emerge. Right. But with that one statement, at least it throws some other light on the question. I'm not going to carve that statement from a few lines in one purport in stone and put it up there as this is now the final conclusion on the matter, and just hammer everyone over the head with it and say, I've defeated all other views, and this should become by GBC resolution, the official ISKCON viewpoint. I won't say that, although maybe it should, but maybe not. I put it up to the community of Vaishnavas as something that makes a lot of sense, as a statement that actually makes sense, that resolves a lot of confusion, that by the association of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one can become attracted to this Madhurya Ras, even if one might have had another Ras before. Which is very interesting, because it sort of gives the whole purport to Nama Mahavaniyaya Krishna Premadayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namnavartishanamaha. He came to give the topmost to the most fallen, in like very magnanimously, namely Madhurya Ras. So. And at the same time, we can uphold the statement that the spiritual body is actually already there. So we don't have to, for this reason, embrace a whole philosophy that, well, if the spiritual body is not eternal, that meant we were never in the spiritual world, and da-di-di-da-di-di-da. Yeah. Because that, again, creates other theological problems anyway. Because then, Tao, then you are not responsible for being here. Then it's him. He has placed you here. And what do you think about it? Are you going to love him for that? Not me. I will never love him for that.
Yeah, but then you will have the kind of the Judeo-Christian approach that this planet is supposed to be kind of a testing phase, actually, to enter to his lila.
Great, but you start from where? If this is a testing phase to enter into the lila, I buy into it. But where do I start? If I started in the spiritual world and I came down here to the testing ground to become qualified again to go back to the spiritual world, fine, I'll go to the testing ground. But if I was created like a worm, and if I have to go to a testing ground and then I can get my swarup in the spiritual world, then I'm not satisfied, because then Krishna has put me in the fallen condition. No. We came from the Tathasta region. We did not come from the fallen region. Tathasta is also fallen. Anything that is not situated in our swarup is fallen. It's fallen from the swarup. That's what fallen means, that you're not in your swarup. Tathasta is also fallen. It's already fallen. Maybe not as fallen as here, but it's already fallen. Tathasta. Tathasta means not serving Krishna and not engaged in sense gratification in the material world. That's in between, tathasta, fallen. So this whole origin of the jiva thing is intimately related to the sarup discussion. And that's why when discussions came up about the internal pastimes of Krishna, the confidential pastimes of Krishna, for which you needed to sort of go into cultivating sarup in the historical development of ISKCON. Simultaneously, in the same era, the jiva issue came up. And these two issues, of the sarup issue, stood next to the origin of the jiva issue, because the two are related. Presenting this for reflection and not as like, because there's only a quote here, but a significant one. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.